Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
It's falling apart, Tomas. It's coming. It's coming.
Just do me, brother. It's
the,
all right.
The wheels are falling off.
That's all right.
We got a new studio. We had to relocate.
Yeah.
We upgraded. We got much more space than we had before.
Oh, yeah.
It's exciting stuff. Welcome in, everyone. It's another week. It's another edition of BS and Beer Podcast Crew. Minus Heath Elson-Son.
When I'm here.
Tomas, always here.
Yes,
matter of fact,
sir.
Tomas is here when I'm not here.
That's right.
Yeah, Wesley. Wesley couldn't make it either. But listen, this is going to be the last week. I know. I think I already made this promise.
Yes, I know.
I made this promise before, and I failed you guys. But this is the last week where we really don't have our act together. We had to relocate the
Speak
studio.
For yourself.
I just recently moved. I sold my palatial chateau.
Yeah, that chateau.
And the chateau.
Mm-hmm,
And moved to another place. So we have to get a new studio. And the old house had plenty of room for everything. This, not so much. I don't know. It's roomy.
Well, it's not bad.
It's roomy. It's roomy. I mean,
Not bad.
Yeah, I've done worse.
I'm okay.
I've done worse.
As
you look
long as I can fit my little butt in here, I'm good.
Squeeze in.
There you go.
Well, anyway. So listen. The Saints, San Diego Chargers, 1917 preseason, some of the most exciting football that you could come across.
Okay. Second half.
The second half was excited. The Saints with the big comeback, big play.
I'm ready to talk about it. So
I'm ready to ask you questions. I'm ready to ask you questions. But
I take the fifth.
I tell you what, let's go ahead, start off the game. Bridgewater, I kind of had Bridgewater down the list, but since we're talking about the game, the beginning of the game, he starts the game.
Yeah.
Bridgewater had an excellent game. And now, here's the thing. We got into, Tomas and I got to a little spat via text. It was more of a misunderstanding than a spat. But the point is that we didn't have a show last week. Bridgewater had a great game. Tomas, not high on Bridgewater, correct? And I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Many of our followers let me know that they
disagree with you. Well, last week, we could have all rubbed it in. Little Dice, he was ready to rub it in.
I told him I needed some steak sauce. I told the man, I only eat prime cut, brother. I don't need no steak sauce.
No steak sauce.
No, sir.
A little salt, a little pepper. Just
that's it, man.
All right. But Bridgewater has a bad game. We don't have a show. We can't call you out. We don't get a chance to call you out.
Well,
now,
you know, now you can try, brother.
In Tomas fashion, he finds a way where he comes out smelling like a rose.
You know how it is,
so,
brother.
So, okay. I do. I pull it out. I did. The interception that Bridgewater threw, that was a high ball to the running back.
Yes.
I have a picture of it. I screenshot it. He should have caught that ball. Now, maybe it came in a little hot.
You're talking about the one going to Washington?
Yes.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And listen, he should have caught that ball. It was high, granted. But golly, there's a couple of plays in there that, man, if I think Kamara catches that ball. And this is going to transition, Tomas, and I want to hold this off into my general thoughts about preseason. And I haven't really been able to express myself because the show's been a little inconsistent. Not little. We've been inconsistent in the offseason. And I haven't really had a chance to say this. So I want to talk about just the attitude and the fans in about the preseason games in general. But
you have to read my blogs, brother. I put all that stuff in the blog. This last time I sent it to you directly. And you still didn't read it. Man, what a fun
I'm busy,
score.
Man. I had a busy week.
Man, you're busy, all right.
I'm settling in.
You know what busy is, don't you? Yeah, he's screaming in the holler. But that's okay.
I'm screaming and hollering.
There you go.
But no, but now the kids are back in school. I'm back into my routine.
I see.
You know,
I see.
Everything's normal now. Well, some things are normal, but we still settling in. We find our groove in our new studio.
Well, whatever we don't talk about on the show today, I will be sending out another blog.
A blog? I like the blog thing, man. You kind of represent.
You know? Yeah, well, trying my best, you know.
So, preseason in general.
Bridgewater. I will tell you this. He was 5 of 12, I think that's what he was for this game. Well, surely, when I rewatched the game a couple of times, it seemed to me there were at least two passes that could have been caught. He could have easily been 7 of 12 instead of 5 of 12.
Right. Now, so, just do you include that interception or no? The interception to Washington where he threw the ball high around the end zone and got intercepted?
That wasn't one I counted.
See, now the
I
only thing.
I counted the one where Butler, it hit him in the face.
Well,
he
yeah.
freaking ball.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there was another one, I can't remember now who it was, had the ball and dropped it or whatever. I was like, oh, that's two right there.
It's the little mistakes. There was a play. There was a play where he steps back. He steps up into the pocket, and he had was it Emmanuel Butler
running wide open. Yeah.
He hits that play. Not only is Butler the kind of a camp hero right now. What do you call it? A camp beast.
Yeah.
He. But there's an opportunity for him to be. Yeah. He'd have walked in. I think. Yeah. I mean, no. He had that guy. It's a corner. No, corner might have caught him. Yeah. So. Big play there, and then all of a sudden Bridgewater looks like a different player. It's just these little mistakes, but that is the difference between winning and losing. Now, my argument would be this.
Go ahead.
Like when he throws that ball to Washington, this is – okay, I'm trying to transition to my thoughts about preseason when people get all excited, all upset. This is terrible. That's terrible. This don't work. That's don't work. At the end of the day, how many balls will Bridgewater throw to Washington in the regular season?
None.
Okay, I'm going to make another argument. How many balls will Drew Brees throw to Washington in the regular season?
Unless somebody gets hurt, none.
None. Yeah. Okay, let's give him five. Let's give him five. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Half a dozen balls. Yeah,
so
season.
My point is that people get excited about things that once the season starts right off the bat, how many games in history has the Saints started off in a deficit and come back to win the game in the second half? Or conversely, started off fast and ended up losing? Now, the Rams game in the playoffs, you know, we started off fast. Everything looked like it was going our way. We ended up losing the game. The point is you cannot look at things like, well, we looked so terrible in the first half. When you're starting left guard and left tackle are not your normal starters right off the bat, things are different. And I just get so frustrated when I read the comments from fans who act like, a player, let's use Teron Armstead. We know exactly what Teron Armstead, if he gets beat three times in a row in the preseason, that changes absolutely nothing about my opinion of him. I know what he is. I know he's probably going to come up injured sometime during the season.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But when he's healthy, he's going to dominate whoever he's playing against. And he'll give up his little play here or there, whatever happens, he's human. But at the end of the day, I see the same thing when people start talking about different players and they're just, oh, they're so concerned about the, you know, except for some rookies, some new guys, how are they going to fit in? What you're seeing out right on the field right now has nothing to do with the results once the bullets start flying for real. Once the teams actually take the field for the opening game, it is completely different. You might, sure, a team might run all over you and everybody, the fans are so upset we can't stop the run. Last year, we stopped the run really well. If you think for a second that we cannot stop the run because of what you see in the preseason, I don't want to insult anybody, but that's lunacy. It's crazy.
Look, we have people that follow us on the Twitter world, right? And I was trying to find it just now what you were talking about. I can't find it because I tweet so much that it's like, good luck me finding anything here. But somebody, and I can't remember who, was complaining about, just like what you're saying, oh, the Saints look terrible, and this and that. And I wrote, dude, there is no game plan. There's no adjustments. What are you worrying about? What is this really all about? Okay, here's what, and again, I'm sorry for those that already know, but, you know, I try to be fair to everyone here. What is the preseason about? Here's what it's about. You're looking at tape. You're getting as much tape as you can on each player in a game-like situation. You're looking at fundamentals, okay? Like, for example, we're going to talk about Davenport later, okay? There are some issues with his fundamentals. Well, okay, you put him on tape. Now you take it to the room. When all the defensive line gets together, he says, look, there you go. This is a problem. You need to do this or this or this. That's really what it's all about. We want to see the raw talent. Again, we were one game away from the Super Bowl last year, two games away the year before. There's not a lot of openings on this team. There's, you know, a handful of openings on this team. So you got 90 guys. Well, get ready because 30 of those 90 guys are gone. And you're going to be surprised who some of the ones that are going to be gone. You're going to have 53 left with 7 on the practice squad. That's it. So they need the coaching staff in order to evaluate, needs as much tape as they can possibly get on each one of these players. because we have an abundance of really good backups at this point. We're going to be cutting backups that are going to make another team, no doubt about it. And I know I say this a lot of times, but I really mean it this year. When you look at what we've got, we've got people playing that other teams are just sitting back. They're now in the role that we used to be in 10 years ago, where we'd sit back and go, man, let's wait for those cuts and see who we can sign. You see? So the point of preseason is not to win a game. The point of preseason is for the coaches to be able to evaluate the best players, to find those that fit the best in the schemes they're going to run. That's it.
No, and
so if you, walk me off the ledge, talk me off the ledge. Dude, you don't need to be on a ledge. Have a glass of wine, have a beer, sit back, and enjoy watching people that you don't know or people that you're thinking, well, they might make the team in some capacity.
Okay, I'll use Aaron Donald. An example. I think it's a great example.
All right.
Probably the best defensive player, if not the best player in the entire league. I think he was number one on the NFL Network list or whatever.
But I think he's one of the best.
Anyway,
I'll leave it
a dominant player.
Yeah.
If you played him straight up over a guard and didn't use him in movement, shooting gaps, twists, things like that. You just made him line up head up and take on the man in front of him. The guy would not be the same player. And that's the sort of stuff that happens in preseason. Aaron Donald is a guy that lives off of his quickness and his movement, not his brute strength. Matter of fact, I recall watching the Rams game in the playoffs, and one of the first series for the Saints, Pete drove him so far off the line and put him on his back. And I thought to myself, man, why didn't that happen the rest of the game? Well, after a while, Aaron Donald's not going to sit there and just take a guy that weighs 330 pounds on when he weighs maybe 280 on, take him on head on. He's gonna use his quickness and agility to get around the guy. So the point is, preseason is exactly that. The coaches put players in positions to see if they can improve on things they're not good at. They're not going to go in there and scheme for a guy to be the best and do what he does best. They want him to improve. They want him to get better.
Right.
They want to see him.
Right. That's why they need the film, because they're being coached. I mean, they're doing training camp. What are they doing in training camp? They're being coached. Okay, look, we want you to do this technique. You know, so here we go to a game action. They take the video and they say, did you learn what we showed you? If they did, great. If they didn't, well, look, you didn't do it. And that's one of those telling things. Sometimes fans look at somebody and go, wow, this guy, you know, he's been in a league. He's going to be good. Wow, he got beat up by some guy who's first year, second year. I wonder why. Because the coaches saw the tape. The guy who's first or second year improved tons in 4 weeks, where the other guy is who he is. When we talk about Bridgewater, I'm going to talk to you about he is what he is. So,
but anyway, so to me, people, every single year, and listen, I'm not even mad at you guys. All the people on Twitter, all the stuff I see, the comments. I'm not even mad at you, because I remember when I was younger, I used to kind of do the same thing. Yeah. I used to get all excited when
you
this happened.
That.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that the game itself, not really, not anymore for preseason. I mean, I have a hard time. I just want to get to the season. Now, when we're not as good, I'm always looking to guys who can make the team, get excited about that, try to find somebody, build them up in my head. Now, at the end of the day, you can talk about all these guys. There are a handful of spots.
That's what I told you.
A handful of spots.
That's it.
And there are, 40 guys trying to find these three spots that are open and available on the same roster.
If you look at the depth chart and you see how many safeties we have on this team, we're not carrying 15 safeties.
No, not happening.
You know? So there's going to be some people going to hit the road, you know? So now the question is, which ones are going to hit the road?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, is watching and see if there's a guy that's always the diamond in the rough, and you hope that some guy makes a big jump. And I mean, through the years, I remember Leroy Glover. Great, great player for the Saints. I guess, man, it's far enough back for where some of the younger people listening might not remember who he is. Yeah. But he was a guy that nobody even knew. He wasn't a high-round draft pick. I think he was drafted by maybe San Diego in the fifth or sixth round.
Somewhere down.
And he came to the Saints as like a free agent. You know, nobody signed him. Saints signed him. Turned into one of the best pass rushers in the league for several years. The point is like you keep hoping for that guy to pop up. You know, where's the next Pierre Thomas, Leroy Glover?
Well, you have a better chance of it popping up on the Saints because good quality UDFAs, they know that the Saints actually give you a chance. So the really high-end UDFAs go, man, if I have a chance to sign with the Saints, I'm going to sign with them because I might have a chance to make a roster.
And I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I do agree with you, but then there's some other things you have to consider. You like the Saints give people a chance. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely, but, yeah. Well, is there a hole for me? So if you...
Well, I know, I understand what you... But at least if they give them a chance, you know, I mean, you have to be capable of doing more than one thing. How many times do you hear that the best way to get your foot in the door is special teams?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, and we have quite a few bodies on special team that look kind of interesting.
We'll talk about it a little later, yes, a couple of return guys. And I mean, if there's one spot on the Saints roster,
there's a guy who's going to make this team that I know a lot of people are upset because, man, he's going to take a spot. Dude, we cannot go without this guy. I'm very sorry. I've watched these two games. I've watched this guy. You cannot teach instinct. Sorry. He knows what hole to hit, and when he hits it, he's flying.
Flying.
I'm telling you.
Flying.
You watch how he plays. He's not like, oh, hold on, let me hesitate. Oh, let me juke him. No. He surveys what he sees, and he goes, I'm going right there.
And he's flying.
And he's flying.
Okay.
All right.
All right, so we'll talk about that in a minute. Right, nice tease. I like that. And right now would be where I push one of the buttons for the transitioning.
Yeah. Well.
Just pretend we had a cool transition. We don't have it set up.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Carolina, but I'm going to hold back because I need my sound.
Don't have the donkey call. You know, we are going bareback. We're going in. All right. All right, so preseason in general. Let's transition to Davenport.
All right.
And this is along with the complaints about preseason, I think basically I'm just taking the big complaints about preseason and just magnifying it or condensing it down to why are people so ready to just pull the trigger? People who I kind of have some respect for, not just fans, but people.
You mean like me?
Yeah, like, of course, Tomas, all the respect. But are saying things like there's nothing irritates me more than hearing something like, oh, he's getting paid the money. I get it. Someone get, you know, Michael Thomas, we paying him a lot of money. We expect him to catch everything. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is I don't care how much I pay. You know, you could pay me whatever. I still couldn't go out and be a running back for the Saints. So what they make or where they got drafted is completely irrelevant. When I hear people using that as a reason, look, Davenport came in. The Saints decided to give up a first rounder and an additional first rounder to get him.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I saw enough from him last year to say he was worth the investment. Now, with the caveat of assuming that we can somehow get past the raw stage and the guy can develop. He had a half a sack, two quarterback hits, and then there were several plays where the one thing that's horrible about a pass rusher is that you can do everything right, beat your man, but if, depending on the play calling, the quarterback gets the ball out of his hands and you don't get a sack. You know what I'm saying? So there were plays where I just don't understand what the irritation is. I guess in game one, I saw him, he struggled. I saw him one time where, I don't know how to describe it, but he went on the outside, he got nothing, he came back on the inside, and a guy took a shot and knocked him sideways on, you know, I don't want to say on his butt because he was hit him from the side. And took him out. It was like the guard who chipped on him and just basically knocked him down. And I'm like, yeah, okay, so he might have had a bad day. He might have struggled. I bet you, I'd have to go back and look at the film, I bet you he didn't have 12 plays. So first preseason game, we're ready to just say this guy's a failure, that he's not doing it. And then all of a sudden, here comes game two. I'm thinking, okay, watch. He had, like I said, half sack. He had two pressures or two quarterback hits. And then he had other plays where I saw where he beat his man. It's just, you know, the play had gone by or whatever. So I'm thinking that, okay, people say, oh, okay, I feel better. Nope, still hearing it. Still hearing that Davenport, he's not doing this. He's not going to make it. Oh, look at, and I know your guy, T-Rex. Okay, here's an example of a guy that I've seen make some incredible plays. And I'm talking about Davenport, athletic plays I've seen him make on the field. T-Rex, to me, so far, has been nothing but a training camp. And I've talked to people on the sideline that say the Saints players get frustrated with him. Other players on the team get frustrated because he goes balls out 100% at practice when all the other guys are like, man, take it easy. And then in preseason, he played well last year in preseason. I want to see that translate into game day. Look, last year, he got to play at the end of the season when – who was it that got injured at the end of the season? Was it Davenport? No. one way or another.
Yeah, Davenport was hurt last year.
He
had that toe injury.
T-Rex was active for the playoffs.
Because Davenport had a bad toe.
He had a bad toe, but he was still active. Somebody went down, and it might have been Sheldon Rankins.
Well, Rankins. When Rankins went down, yeah, it could have been.
Could have been that he, you know. But the point is that I didn't see any of that play during the season. Now I will say this: the Saints gave up 2 first-round draft picks for Davenport. They're not going to just say, well, you know, it looks like T-Rex is a little ahead of you, so I'm going to sit you down. That'd make him look horrible. So T-Rex was fighting uphill battle anyway for a roster, a game day roster spot. Let me get this story back to on track. I would love to see T-Rex.
Wrap it up, brother. I have to respond to you. You're gonna make me
okay. Right. You're going to forget what you're about to say. All I'm saying is I'd love for him to do what I see in preseason. I even saw, was it Cam Jordan? Who was it that said he's unblockable? They tweeted that out. I just saw somebody say that earlier today. It might have been Michael Thomas said that T-Rex is unblockable. I want to see that in a game. And I want to see people quit giving Davenport. I saw what Davenport can do. And when healthy, does he have a ways to go? Yeah, but when healthy, he plays a run really well, and he's athletic and get after the quarterback. I want to see it.
All right, so now I'm going to support you on one side and not support you on another side. So here we go. Let's see if it makes sense to you. I think that people are upset with the Davenport situation because you gave up not one, but 2 number ones for this guy. And so the expectation of fans is that, man, if you give up 2 number ones, this guy should be playing like Donald. This guy should be coming out there. He should be eating people up left and right with his skills. So I think that's where it comes from the fan, from the everyday fan. Now, to support you, let's go back. I believe it's a very much a consensus throughout the league that Cam Jordan is one of the top 10, if not top 5, defensive ends. But if you go back, when Cam Jordan first came on his team, he wasn't much to write home about.
Nope.
Okay, a lot of people are like, man, we drafted this guy? But here's the one big difference. From the very beginning, Cam Jordan could set the edge, whereas Davenport can't. So this is a problem. If you look at the tape, I've looked at the tape over and over from the first 2 preseason games, just from a standpoint of a basic understanding of technique. Davenport gets pushed to the inside when he should stand his ground. He can't set that edge yet. Yet is the key word. He may be able to once he has a better grasp on the big boy technique, which I'm sure that they're working very hard at presenting. Because another issue that he has is his hands, okay? He does not use his hands in the way that, for example, Cam Jordan does, or the guy that we lost, Okafor. If you'd watch Okafor play, he wasn't the best guy, he wasn't the fast, but he knew how to position himself and use his hands to keep the offensive lineman from locking him down. So this is one of those things. It's a technique issue that's still not there. Now, Davenport was injured last year. So you really can't say that he has had a full year at defensive end because he hasn't. So in reality, we're still looking at a guy who's basically a rookie. That's what you're looking at. So to me, you can't pass judgment on him yet. Am I not happy? Yeah, I'm a little bit unhappy about it. But at the end of the day, if you're going to be logical and rational about it, the guy has to have at least 1 full year of good, steady work. And I think he'll get it this year. God willing, he won't have that injury. And you'll see how he progresses during the year. Now, if we come back next year and I still see the same exact thing, then we have a problem. But for this year, I think people need to let up and say, look, the guy has raw talent. I mean, you look at him when he comes into the huddle. Dude, he towers over everybody. He's a big, big guy. So he'd be perfect for that end position. It's just a question of confidence, technique, and experience. So I think that those 3 things are still coming forward. Now, as far as T-Hex, I've seen a difference. I can't tell you about, I don't have snitches that are telling me stuff that's going on in a practice facility, okay? But I can just tell you from all the tape that I've seen on him last year and this year. Number 1, he's gained weight and muscle strength. Number 2, if you watch him play,
He's much more savvy about how he positions himself on the line. So I've seen real improvement. Is he a Cam Jordan? No. Okay. But he's certainly more than just serviceable. I think he's a very good player and will work great in the Saints rotation. As far as maybe he blows up people in practice and shit, well, you know what? That's why you have to have mentoring. That's when the older guys who are there come up behind him and say, dude, slow it down. You know, maybe he needs to take a shot. I mean, you just never know. You know, maybe
Armstead. I don't know what kind of shot you're talking about.
No, what I'm saying is, you know, he tries to, and Armstead lays him out.
Oh, okay, take a shot.
Because
calm down,
Armstead
boy.
is the seasoned pro on the offensive line. Knocks him on his behind a couple of times, and you know, and then suddenly he's like, see, I'm telling you, this is how we play as pros.
You're take
not,
it easy, boy.
You're not in college. Right. You see? And I think that's what you need. So, Davenport, work in progress. I think he'll do well with the Saints. I think he'll, as the season progresses, he'll get better and better. I think T-Hex looks good, you know. I'm interested now in seeing the comeback kids, right? I want to see Onyemata, and I want to see...
Had a big play in the game.
Yes, I mean, but you know he's going to be out for at least one, right? So, right? Is he going to be suspended for at least
one?
Yeah,
actually, when you said I forgot, I kind of my eyes opened. I'm like, damn, that's
see,
right.
So that's the comeback kids to me, Onyemata and Rankins. Okay, let's see how they come back because really, the ends are only as good as the inside, truthfully. We don't need sacks necessarily from the inside, but we need a push on the inside, which means they have to chip people and that frees up our outside. So that's my my observations of Davenport. Overall, the defensive line, I think, has some good potential of players that we have playing on the defensive line. There are going to be some cuts, and you know we're going to let some people go, and they'll be playing on another team. They won't be playing on ours from the defensive line. So,
well, you kind of, with the comments you made about Davenport and holding the edge, I will admit that I've watched them lose contain on several occasions. But I've also, this is where I'm talking about preseason. As I saw him last year hold the edge and make some amazing athletic plays. I remember, I know you have to remember.
He made those plays because of his athleticism, not because he understood the technique of setting
but
that
But contain,
edge.
Contain, you learn contain in grade school. Like setting the edge.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree.
Now, there's no disagreeing. You learn how to set the edge in grade school. The point is you keep your outside shoulder if you are the contain guy. Now, I'm not trying to defend him in the sense that if he lost containment. Now, here's the thing we don't know, and I didn't watch closely enough, is if his job is to go inside, then someone else becomes a contain guy. I didn't see that. But in the two instances I saw, he just got beat. And a lot of times, I played outside linebacker at times, and you just, when you lose containment, the whole world sees you, and you know you did it, and you get that look of like a receiver that drops a ball. You know the coaches are like, come here. They're giving you like, come here. And they're calling you to the sideline, and you're going to come sit down for a minute because you lost contain. And he did on several occasions. But last year, I saw that athleticism. At the end of the day, you keep your outside arm free. You get upfield. You put, and you have to remember that play. I mean, I can't remember exactly what happened, but he chased the guy down. I don't know. I'm bringing up something I can't even remember. I just remember
but
it was so athletic.
I'm just saying to you, I understand what you're saying, Dave, but at the same time, because of his athleticism, he's able to bounce back
but that's,
from a mistake, and that's great. That's fantastic. But if you combine good technique with that athleticism, it's a whole different ball game. And a couple of times, and at least in two games, and again, I'm not giving it a lot of – I'm just telling you what I saw in the game.
I feel you.
In both of these games, Davenport got beat on being pushed back in where he should have stayed out.
Right, absolutely.
Okay? So – to me, I'm sure the coach is going to be sitting there with him. Look, you know, we're talking about this in technique, and, you know, we'll see. We'll approach it.
One of the, I don't know how to use the right verbiage, the best plays that I've seen him make last year was one where he came down from the outside, came down and made a tackle, like, well inside somewhere around the center on an inside run play. And I was like, wow. Problem is once you do that a couple of times, you get nosy. You find yourself going inside to make that play and the ball goes outside and you lose contain. So there are things where I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that, like, I don't think it has to do with he needs to learn how to keep contain. I think that's something that you know you got to do. It's knowing when you can take the risk and pinch down and make a play inside, or knowing that you like, listen, I got to let the guys on the inside make that play, and I got to keep contained. I got to stay on the outside.
I understand what you're saying, but there's a difference. And again, I'm not trying to make an excuse for wherever he came from. But everyone will tell you the same thing. There's a difference in speed of the game when you move from any college program to a professional program. And you may have been taught how to set that edge in middle school, but you were doing it simply based on your superior athleticism compared to who you're playing against. Now you're playing against Armstead. Guess what? He's just as good as you are athletically.
Right.
So you trying to do things athletically, you're not going to get anything done. You have to know, like, for example, the one that pops into my head. There was one where he came off the ball, and it was obvious that he did not have the proper angle to his shoulders when he came off the line. And that's why they pushed him in. Had he had a different angle to his body, they wouldn't have been able to push him in. That's technique. That's not athleticism. That's just simple technique, which can be corrected. You know. So all I'm saying is, I agree with you. I think people are making way too much of a lot of players, including Davenport. It's just the second preseason game. And like I said, if you really look at it, he has not played 16 games.
Yeah, true story.
Okay, so he's still a freaking rookie.
And of the games that he played after the injury, he wasn't 100%. No. The one argument that I heard somebody make, or maybe I read it on Twitter, probably the best argument for giving Davenport crap is, since he's come back from, I don't believe in it, but it was a an intelligent argument maybe. Since he's come back from the injury, he hasn't looked the same as he did before. All those athletic plays I'm talking about happened before. Now, I don't believe, just because now I get it, he's recovering from a toe injury. We talk about it. The toe injury sounds silly, but it's a huge thing.
Deion Sanders retired because of a toe injury.
Yeah, exactly. So now I think what they're trying to do is find some reason to say now it's two games into preseason and the guy's just not any good anymore. Like, it drives me crazy. I want to give guys a benefit of the doubt until they prove me wrong, or vice versa, prove me wrong if I think they're not good. Like, it's like people, because we gave up two picks, are trying.
But that's what it is, Dave. When you give up two number one draft, if you recall, when that happened, every single podcast out there, except us because we're better, every single podcast out there, everybody kept complaining, hey, you don't understand. It's two first-round draft choices. It's not one. It's two. And it went on and on for weeks. You know? I'm not a professional scout. I'm not a professional coach. I didn't evaluate the guy. But obviously, we have people who evaluated him. And if you look at the last, at the very least, the last 4 years of draft, I think we've done pretty good with the people we've drafted. Mm-hmm. So I have to give credit to our scouts. I have to give credit to our coaches. They know better than I do. So I'm just going to sit back and tell you, okay, look, as a very well-informed fan, these are the things I see. We'll see where it goes from there. So, all right, so we finished up with Davenport. What's our next
man
on the agenda here?
You started talking when we first walked in about the cornerback position.
Yes.
You didn't think that they played very well.
No.
Okay. Go ahead and give me your thoughts on that, and we can dig into that a little bit.
All right, here's what I'm going to give you. The New Orleans Saints drafted Patrick Robinson. They thought, man, this kid can play corner. We're going to have him in here. He was a total fiasco in New Orleans, to the point that they finally let him go. He went to San Diego. He went someplace. I don't remember where. Oh, maybe not San Diego. I can't remember. He went someplace other. Finally, he resurrected himself at Philadelphia. He had one good season at Philadelphia playing the slot. Okay. He played in a defense that was favorable to him. He played a position that was favorable to him. Now, here's a perfect example of preseason. So the Saints are like, we need to get tape and evaluate. Put peanut butter and jelly out there on the outside corner. Put P. Rob on the other outside corner. Dude, they ate these two guys up like they would go tomorrow.
I mean, here's, okay, you're not wrong by any stretch of the imagination.
They're not outside corner.
But that's what I was going to say. Like, both of them, we know going in that neither one of them can play on the outside.
Okay, but here's the thing. They're looking for backups. They're trying to figure out if we lose Lattimore.
We got Ken Crawley.
Oh, hold on. Now, you know that that's my guy. I picked him as a UDFA. He came about. He made the team. Played really good one season.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm telling you right now, based on what
regressed.
I saw, I'm sorry. He's going to have a hard time. Now, he might make this team because we got nobody else. I mean, that's a possibility, which scares me. Because you got Eli Apple and you got Lattimore. Okay. Definitely, Lattimore is going to bounce back. He's going to have a better year. Apple is Apple. He's going to have a fair year. I think we're okay with our starters at the corner. But we got nothing behind these people. Because if you're thinking, well, we can slide PJ over, you know, we can slide P-Rob over. Dude, you can't slide either one of them over. They might be really good playing a slot. They might be good in zone. But deep cover, man-on-man, toast, baby. So that's not going to help us. So, and I'm not sure about Crawley. So, like I say to you, I think probably right now, if I'm evaluating this team right now, I believe the biggest weakness is cornerback.
Hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, so that's why I had brought that up. And, you know, look, I step up. I pick Crawley. I can just as easily tell you, dude, he's not doing on one play. It really, I jumped off the sofa and yelled at the screen. Okay. The guy breaks a tackle. He's running. And Crawley's running parallel to the guy. And I'm like, tackle him for God's sake. No, he's running parallel with the guy. He's like, dude, I cut your behind off this team in a heartbeat. You got to put your head down there and tackle this guy.
Was he going to try to scare him out of bounds or something?
No, he was in the middle of the field.
Oh.
He wasn't close. If he's out of bounds, okay, you can corner him out, you know, push him out. No. He's running. He's on the out. He's on the out of bounds side. The guy's on the inside, and he's running parallel with him. I'm like, what the hell is that? You're going to escort him all the way down to the end zone? No. You got to make your move. You got to cut him off, force him to where your guys are, make him change direction. He didn't do any of that. And if you've noticed, since he's lost his confidence, that's one of the things that you see about him all the time. He's scared to make the tackle. So to me, I'm sorry, but this to me is an issue. You know, I think our cornerback position is an issue. You know, so.
Well, again, I'm not ready to push the panic button on anything because of the whole preseason thing. But, man, I do agree that outside corner depth is a little scary. It's a little scary right now. So, yeah, okay, we get away. And the thing is, I think I can rhetorically ask this question. Can we get away with a couple of games with peanut butter and jelly on the outside?
No.
And the answer is probably not.
No.
I mean, I've watched them play. It's bad. So, I mean, but, you know, as well, look, give the man his prop. That ain't his position.
No, it's not.
You know, that's like asking a wide receiver to play tight end. You know what I'm saying?
You mean like Dan Arnold?
Oh, man.
Although, here's the thing with Dan Arnold. He'll come out and make an amazing play. And you're like, dude, this is why they're holding on to the guy. And then the very next play, he looks like a high school player.
He's so inconsistent,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous.
But he's got skills, and he's got speed, and he's got size. So, you know, I can see why they want him to make this team.
That's the thing, the coaches, he's a coach killer. You look at him, you want him to do good. You just, come on, you can do it, you know, he'll make a play, and you say he's turning the corner, the light's coming on.
Don't be surprised if he makes the team, because I have him making the team. On my early 53, the team.
I
think they're going to put Elise Mack on.
I think it's just there's just nothing there to really push him. He's going to make the team because there's really nobody there that's ready to take the spot.
Right.
So, right. Believe it or not, you got those kind of – there's a
– It happens sometimes on a team. You got a guy who's – as we say, serviceable.
That year,
but there's nobody behind them pushing them.
Yeah, that 1 year experience goes a long way. That off season. the playoff experience, the coaching, and you know, as time goes on, coach looks at you somewhere around game 14 and says, "We're gonna need this kid," and so they start putting in extra effort to coach you up, and you come out to be a better player.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, you're just not quite what the team wants. They try to find a replacement, but that guy's not quite ready yet. So.
Yeah. See, I don't think Garrett is going to be a tight end on this team. And they drafted this kid from Notre Dame. But what I'm seeing is that he's not ready for pro-level ball, you know. So I see him either they are able to put him on the developmental squad Or he might be one of those guys who comes up with an injury at the very last game and is on IR for
right,
a year.
Right, for
we
the year.
Hide
yeah.
him for a year. So, you know, that's the situation there. But anyway, so we were talking about that. Now, do you want to get to Bridgewater before we run out of time? Since
yeah, let's
all
talk.
These people want me to.
Oh, yeah. You got to take, I don't know if a whooping, because you're going to come out smelling like roaches.
Yes, sir.
So it's no secret, Tomas, that yeah. you're not a big Bridgewater fan. You've pretty much proclaimed that all offseason and even into the preseason. Now, we didn't have a show last week.
Yeah.
He played well. He played really well. Had a very good QBR. Was accurate with his passing, and we didn't have a show, so you didn't have to take no whooping. But then here comes this past game Sunday yeah. against San Diego.
Yeah,
he looked kind of shaky. Even for someone's pulling for him, I'm pulling for him to be the guy. I want him to step up. I want him to be the future. He didn't.
No,
so are you going to admit to the mistakes that you were wrong last week?
No, never wrong. I am never wrong. Do you not remember what you recorded? What did you record? My opinion outweighs the facts.
That's right. I forgot right. about that.
You forgot about it.
It's been a while. It's
been
a while.
Been a while. Well, all right. Well, let's talk here for a minute about the quarterback issue, because there are a number of people who have been on my case about Bridgewater. So let me see if I can do something with it. Earlier on in the show, we were talking about how you are what you are, right? Who is Teddy Bridgewater? Teddy Bridgewater is a good quarterback. That's my position on him. He's a good quarterback. There are 32 teams in the NFL. 31 other ones besides us would love to have him, either as a starter or a backup. No doubt about it. Because he's a good quarterback. As we have said in the past, if Drew has to be out for four games and Teddy can come in and win two of those four, we feel pretty good. Okay. But Teddy is who Teddy is. In every game he plays, if you go and look at the tapes, here's what you see. Teddy holds the ball too long. Number one. Teddy doesn't have the same escapability. Now, I don't know if it's because of the horrendous knee injury or not. I mean, I don't know. Now, I do remember watching him play in Louisville because, after all, you know, I'm in Kentucky, so okay. But what I've seen on the tape is that Teddy, an accurate fellow, when he has the time and he knows how to position his body, very accurate thrower. Okay, I'm in on that. My problem is that he holds the ball too long. He doesn't have enough of that. You know, Drew Brees is not a speed getting to the corner. Drew Brees just knows two steps to the left, two steps to the right, one step forward. That's it. He gives himself enough time, that extra 1,001, to be able to throw the completion, whereas Teddy doesn't seem to. Now, in this past game, of course, the excuse from Coach Payton, which was really weird, was that, well, you know, he was sick.
Well, why can't he be sick? Why can't the man be sick?
Hold on. How many times have you heard Coach Payton tell you that somebody has something wrong with him? Uh-huh, exactly. Zero. that's why I found it weird that Payton came out and said, well, you know, he was sick.
Maybe he's turning over a new leaf. He wants to give out the injury report early.
Yeah, sure, fig leaf. Okay, but in any case, I'm just saying to you, okay, maybe he was sick. I don't know. But at the end of the day, he did not play very well. Another thing that I think that Teddy tries to do, and he's not the only one. There are lots of players who are guilty of this who are skilled players. You know what? I can make a good play into a great play. We were talking earlier. Butler was wide open.
Wide open.
What? He should have just said, look, I'm just going to throw the ball 15 yards, and this guy's going to take off for another 35. Man, it looks great. I have a completion of 50 yards. No, instead, he's like looking around, who's open at, you know, 40 yards down the field. Dude, you can't do that. Okay? You have to know when. How many times have we said this when people complain about Brees? Why was he throwing that ball? You know, why did he throw it? Because Drew Brees is a pro, and he was like, dude, I'm just throwing the ball away. We'll come back in the next down. I am not going to get sacked. I'm not going to get hurt. I'm not going to throw an interception. So this is Teddy Bridgewater. He is what he is. He's not going to develop any more than what he is. He's been in the league six, 7 years. Bro,
he is who he is. Now, he might pick up a few things by working with Drew Brees, as all these other quarterbacks that have come through have done the same thing. But to me, and I know, here you go, get ready. Get ready. You ready? To me, I believe that the Mormon Missile has more potential at this point than Teddy does.
Well, you know, look.
Okay, and if you watch what he did in his last game, passing, much better. He's reading first, second, third reads. If you watch him play the game now, I think, as they talk about it, I think the game has slowed down for him.
No, absolutely. I mean, he's getting more experience. And listen, yes. I wouldn't argue with you that he doesn't have more potential. You know, like, I don't want to define that, but I wouldn't argue with you that he doesn't have more potential if he starts developing.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I mean, well, I heard an interview with Steve Young, and Steve Young said the same thing. Look, he's got the potential to run, so that's a big game changer. The thing is, does he have the potential to drop back in the pocket, take all the reads before he runs? That's the big difference. Can he throw the ball accurately? Now, what does accurately mean? See, and I didn't want to mention the guy's name, but I'm going to have to. Donkey Boy in Carolina.
Yeah.
He can't throw the ball on a dime. You what? Every year, we see the same thing. If it's not that his receivers have big arm length to be able to catch the ball, you know, so what? He's big. Guess what? He's hurt. You know, he's hurt big time. Well, you're going to see when he comes back, they talk about, oh, we changed his motion. Dude, you can't change that motion. The guy's been around too long. He's going to revert back to who he is. And he's already torn up that shoulder twice, not once. So, to me, Taysom, on that one play where he dropped back to pass and he was forced out of the pocket, he stepped up, he's still looking downfield. He turns around a guy, hits the outside edge, he's still looking down the field, and finally says, okay, I want to run. He stiff-armed that guy, makes it to the sideline, and all of a sudden, it's like he slowed down. He was like, well, let me take a few steps here. And then he juked the guy, and then he finally slid down. And I was like, that's the best run he's ever made. Because he took his time, and at the very end, he didn't take that last shot. He got down. So I see huge improvement on one guy and a guy who's just steady Eddie on the other side. I have no problem with Bridgewater being the number two guy for this season. I really don't. I hope we don't have to use him. I hope he sits the bench and collects his check. But if something happens to Drew, I'm fairly certain that he would be the first guy up. And then if he can't get the team going, I don't see Coach hesitating one instance to say, Taysom, put your hat on and get in there. And something good might be happening. So I just wanted to tell my friends, look, as Little Dice said, tell me I need to get my steak sauce ready. Brother, at my age, I don't drink cheap. I don't eat cheap, brother. So I don't need any steak sauce to cover up a really good piece of meat. So best of luck to you, brother. Keep eating that ground meat. I'll stick with my big giant ribeye. All right, there
all
you
right.
go.
All right, Von Bell.
What about him?
Had looking good. Had Put on game. Some weight in off season. Looking athletic.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
The guy is primed for a Pro Bowl type season. I mean, he made a play playing center field. Unbelievable range.
Got over there. And put
I didn't know he had
there.
That kind of athleticism.
Yeah. Yep.
So
hell of a play.
Big play. I think that he's primed for a big season. He had a very good season last year and looks to be building off of that.
Well, I will tell you that I think we're really set up good at safety. I think we'll keep five safeties and five cornerbacks. I think we'll have 10 people in the defensive backfield.
Huh.
So, you know, I see. And part of this is what we were talking about before with the tight end position. I think Von Bell's improvement is because he's got people pushing him.
Huh.
You know, I think he worked hard on the offseason. Now he comes in. And I think these two kids that they picked up in safeties, I think both of these kids have talent. And, of course, Von Bell is also getting closer to his contract year.
Well, that always does it.
And
but,
so,
I mean,
you know,
sometimes I do agree about the contract year, but there's also the whole thing that, meaning when you get to the contract year, you're in your third, fourth year, so you either develop or you don't.
I mean, yes, I agree with
you. If you get to your contract year, that means you've probably improved to the point where.
But maybe it had something to do with his off-season training.
Approach? No, absolutely. I can see that as well.
And like I said, these two kids that they picked up, they both look really good. You know, I can see both. And this is why I brought up to you, because I think some people are going to be shocked. You know, there are a lot of fans who are in love with Hardy and Banjo because they play really, really good
special teams.
On special teams.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, again, neither one of them is going to be a safety or cornerback on this team. They're just special team guys. So I'm looking at the two kids that we drafted. Do you keep talent over experience when all you're doing is playing special teams?
I don't know. Okay, the answer to that is how good are you at special teams?
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up
for you. And Hardy is very good. And two, how many other guys at other positions? In other words, you know, you might have a cornerback that's a very good special teams player, but if you got a linebacker Gray. That can do his job, you know.
Gray, remember that guy?
How did this guy make the team? Who is this
TJ Gray guy? Well, you know, he plays special teams like a monster, and so that's why he made the team.
Yeah.
You know? Now, I don't think he'll make the team this year, but we'll see. You know, what else you got on the list? Did we cover everything on the list?
I think that's about it. You want to touch on running back real quick?
Well, here's what I'll do. I'll tell everybody right now. I'll be putting a blog out this week. Uh-huh. I'll cover the running back issue on the blog this week.
All right.
All right, because we pretty much got all the other stuff that I thought we'd talk about this on game day. Well, so, now, I have a couple questions for you, Dave,
because
some people asking us. Are we playing the Pick'em game this season?
We could. Okay, we can only do one. I don't have time to keep track of all of it. Do we want to do the Pick'em, or do we want to do the fantasy? Do you remember the fantasy? We played two games last year. So
that's a good one. I don't know which one I'd go with.
Like, you know, it was.
Let's put it up to our fans. Look, send us some tweets. Don't we have now an email address that these people can contact us at, Dave?
Okay, so it's bsandbeer@icloud.com.
Okay.
And I'll put up a poll on
on
Twitter.
All right.
So my Twitter is SaintsBS. Go ahead and give them yours.
Tomas Mauricio 19.
Okay. So the thing is going to be decided by like four or five people because, you get that many people voting.
Well, you never know. You know.
It'll be people who don't even know the show. They'll see me on Twitter.
You mean like the one who thought you won the first year?
Oh, yeah. That was funny.
When we had all the special words and she couldn't think of any of
them? It's just like, what? Words? Like, no, you out. No, I listen every week.
Yeah, you do.
So, anyway. So,
I just wanted to pass that on. A lot of people have been asking me, so.
Yeah, we'll do one of the two shows. It's just a lot of stuff going on. I'll get settled in. I'm settled in now. You could tell by our surroundings I'm settled in, right?
Yeah,
all the boxes.
Like too bad we don't have that YouTube channel
anymore. Yeah, you can see this. It's awful. It's a mess. Anyway, Tomas, any final words, words of inspiration?
I think the third game is going to be really important in preseason.
Well, this is
We'll see a lot of people out. I still don't think Drew will play.
You don't think he'll play in the third preseason game? No. Come on.
Did he play last year in the third preseason game?
Yes.
No, he didn't.
He did?
No.
I'm not going to argue with it because I don't really remember. No. But who doesn't play in the third preseason game?
Drew Brees.
I don't believe that. I'm going to go on record saying I don't remember. But I'm going to be amazed if he didn't play in the third preseason.
All right. I'm going to go on record and say to you, the Mormon Missile will start the game in the third preseason game.
Oh.
He'll play with the first unit this game coming
up. At the hot take.
Yes, sir.
The hot take.
Taysom Hill will be the starting quarterback in the third preseason game.
All right. For Wesley Coleman.
He'll come in the second half.
For Wesley Coleman.
Not here.
With Heath Elson-Sign.
Not here.
Tomas Mauricio.
Here.
I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast, soon to be on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Later on, not now, but down the road.
There you go.
Two more weeks. And so we got to start working on that foul language. Got to cut that out.
What the hell are you talking about?
That's what. See?
It's not me. It's Heath.
Heath, yeah. And he
dropped the F-bomb.
He would just drop the F-bomb just to get on my nerves.
That's it.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is.
Oh, hey, Ethan, did you hear that Dave, Tomas, and Heath have a new podcast out this week?
No way. That's really cool. We should write a song for it.
BS and Beer is the show. BS and Beer is the show. To find out what Dave, Tomas, and Heath really know. Gotta love that podcast show. Gotta love that podcast show.
I heard it's the number one place for Saints football news.
How convenient. Thanks, Dave.